said, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to stand before you tonight, and I trust the Lord to bless us in the reading of His holy word. A subject that's on my heart again is one sometime I've tried to speak about or tried to spoke on it in days gone by, and it's still on my mind and heart again. I want to begin in Hebrews chapter 7. Now, sometimes I might be guilty of oversimplifying things because I just don't see, or maybe it's just deeper, far deeper, and I'm just kind of surface-wise, but someone can straighten me out later or afterwards, but I'm going to preach to you, if the Lord will bless me, kind of what I see in this subject. I want to begin looking, and I read just one verse of Scripture tonight in chapter 7 of Hebrews. In verse 22, Hebrews chapter 7 and 22 reads to this wise, but so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. To kind of bring your thoughts together, what I'll be talking about tonight is about the different covenants or testaments or wills. How much better of a testament, or how much better is the new covenant, the new testament, or the new will that we have today through Jesus Christ. Now, everything we have today is in Jesus Christ. You know, the Word of God said in Hebrew, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us together in heavenly places. No, He's given us all. In fact, I'm going to turn there and just read that verse. It's one that we don't state quite often and a little rusty in my mind, but I want you to get this verse, what He's saying here in Hebrew or in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to God's Word here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So tonight, to begin with, I want to tell you, everything you have spiritually, it's in Christ Jesus. It's in Him alone, or in Him and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but it's in Christ Jesus. The Father has given us all these things in Christ Jesus. And tonight, I want to tell you, we have a better testament. Now, a lot of time, you know, we use these terms today, even in the court of law. I won't forget years ago when we had this discussion one Wednesday night about Hebrews chapter 9, and I believe it is maybe verse 26 or right in there, 24 or 26, I believe 26, where he said that basically that it's appointed unto a man once to die, after this the judgment. Now, if you take that verse out of context, you'll see, and it sounds like, well, boy, you're going to be judged after you're dead. But you look at that passage in the context, the whole context of it is that he was dealing with a will. And he was talking about the new will versus the old will. Now, the old will, and I'm going to use that term, the old will in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in the verses up there above it, the old will, he said, everything is set apart, or everything, basically, there's no remission without the shedding of blood. And listen to what he states, I believe it is in 9 and 15. He said, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. Now, whenever I use term testament, I'm not saying that they don't have some differences, but I'm just going to state that you could actually implant here the term will or the term covenant. And I'm going to use quite often the will, because really the will or the testament is based that God made some promises, and God's given some promises, and He said now, He put them basically, He listed them, and He said now these are the promises of God. They're in a will form. That is a legal document. Now, many of you could tell me more than what I know about it, but nonetheless, in our courts today, you still have the last will and testament. That is, now in this passage, He comes on, and I'm just going to read there for a little, but he says in verse 16, I go ahead and read 15. He said, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest endureth into the holy place every year, or entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Now here he comes on in verse 26, it said, Christ, he said, for them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, a lot of reading here, and in a few places we have that tonight. It said Christ at the end of the age, at the end of the Jewish age. Christ died at the end of the Jewish age, and he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In fact, chapter 9 in verse 11 and 12, and I hope to be able to have you to follow me a little more in a minute. But he says in 11 and 12, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What I'm trying to say in all of this reading tonight is, okay, to begin with, there is two covenants. There's two wills. Now, the first will was brought into force by the killing of animals. The animals, the various, as he said, the heifer and all of this was brought into being by the killing of these animals. And in all of the instruments of the tabernacle and all of the people was sprinkled with this blood. Now, this was the beginning. And what he's basically saying is right now, every one of you that have a will, every one of you, and I would encourage you to have it, and I've been encouraging people for a long time, and one of these days we're going to get one ourselves. But every one of you that have a will is kind of like this. You have this will. Now, you might give me, in your will, you might leave something to me, or let me put it this way, I might leave you my lawnmower, or my truck, and it would probably be my work truck. And nonetheless, if I leave you my work truck, if you come by tomorrow, you're not going to be able to get my truck. You might say, Brother Philip, you got me in your will for your truck, so I'm coming by tomorrow to pick it up. It's no good. Because the only way it's a force is when I'm dead. There has to be the shedding of the blood. It's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. What does that mean? They still use the terminology in the courts of the land today. When my father-in-law died, I still heard the judgment of the will, the last will and testament. All of that wording is used today. And in this passage, what he's declaring to us, as well as in chapter 7 of Hebrews, is that he brought the first will with the shedding of the blood of animals. You know what that did? It did nothing in the sense of except obedience to God. And there was blessings. Were they not blessings in the law? Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 3. There were blessings to be had in the law, but I'm going to tell you, those blessings were nothing compared to the suretyship of Jesus, what he's given us in this new covenant. This new covenant or new will that we have today. Now, in chapter 3 of Hebrews, he says in 1 and 2, what advantage has the Jew and what profit is there of the circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God, the Word of God. The Jews had the Word of God. The Jews had the will of God, as it were. The Jews had the will of God. He was saying the promises of God in how he dealt with the Jews. They had the sanctuary and the worship of God and how God dealt with them in the Old Testament. And you know, there were blessings to be had. But I'm going to tell you today, it's about like a negative. It's about like a picture. And you can look at a picture and you get the negatives. I remember quite often, you know, going through old drawers and you find negatives, and they don't mean a lot until you maybe put it up to the sun's light or the light in the room. You can't really see anything. A negative in the Old Testament is kind of a negative picture in that way. But I want to tell you, when the sunlight or the light of God's Spirit comes upon the Old Testament, you're able to see. Remember Jesus said, study the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify me. That is, brethren, all of the Old Testament testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. It testifies of the kingdom of God. It testifies of the will of God. You know, just like the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, that there's so many beautiful things in there. If we could only see the Ark of the Covenant and how that, what did they have? They had the pot of manna. And then they had the law of God written on the stone, and they had Aaron's rod that did bud. I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ is that holy manna. Jesus is the bread from heaven. Jesus is the true bread. And we find that He's the true rod. I want to tell you, brother, they killed Jesus Christ, a rod that was barren, a rod that had no life in it. Yes, you could say that even in His lineage, in how He came out as the lineage of Melchizedek. He came out of, or not a part of, the Levitical priesthood, and He budded forth. But I want to tell you, it was more than just that, because He budded forth out of the very death, out of the grave. He arose again, and you can see all sorts of things that are beautiful, but all of that Old Testament stuff, all of that was really only a shadow, a picture, a negative of a picture that when Jesus came, a picture made perfect. That is, brethren, as even today, we have the holy law of God, the law of God that was written upon our hearts and minds. Now, first of all, I want to make this. I want to declare that the laws of God are the commandment, the will of God that He gave us. That will is not for us to do things to go to heaven. That will is not how we're going to get to heaven. People weren't trying to get their way to heaven in the Old Testament. But I want to tell you, friends, that neither is it in the new. But I do want to share this, is that the beginning or the coming of the will, the bringing to pass of the will, what you have in the Old Testament, they use animals. You know what? The will in the New Testament, Jesus was a surety, as stated in Hebrew chapter 7. Listen to this again. Chapter 7 and verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Jesus Christ has a better testament, a better covenant, a better will under the New Testament. He has something better for us. Now, in chapter 9, listen to what He said again in chapter 9 in verse 13. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, what? Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now listen in chapter 10 and verse, let's start on up here in about verse 1. A little more reading, and hopefully this be the last of a lot of reading, and you have to go home and read really chapter 7 through 10 yourself. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. I'm going to tell you, the law declared something better. It declared something good to come. Having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image. See, it's only a shadow. It's only like tonight, if you go out there and there's a light out there, and you see someone by that light, it's going to cast a shadow. You won't see whether they're pretty or they're pretty ugly. All you see is the image of the individual. All you see is kind of how they look a little bit, whether, you know, it's distorted. And now here He comes on, here He says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. That is, they knew they were sinners in the Old Testament. They were reminded, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Why? Because they offered sacrifices over and over and over. And He comes on here and He said in verse 5, whereunto when He cometh into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will. Now get that, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And the every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till the enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now let me try to share what I understand all of this is dealing with tonight or talking about. Is I believe that in the scriptures that he's telling us, number one, law didn't do anything. It only reminded you, you're a wretched sinner in need of saving. Now they brought that law in the covenant, the first will into force. Why? They brought it through the shedding of the blood of animals. It didn't ever save anybody. It didn't ever purge anybody. It didn't make anybody perfect. The second will, which was the better, which was the image of what the Old Testament was showing or trying to point to some degree, in the shadow, in the image of, you have in the second testament, the New Testament, the new will, what you have is it was brought into being in the promises of God and how God was going to deal with His children was brought into being by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, having entered in once into the Holy of Holies, having obtained, as he says in chapter 9 and 12, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The very beginning of the law was that Jesus did something that all of the blood of goats and animals, he did something that all the priests could offer their own blood, wouldn't done any good. Why? Because they were sinners and they had not the perfect sacrifice. But Jesus came and he didn't offer no goat, no cow, no anything else. He offered himself, the pure, sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God. Mary indeed had a little lamb, and Jesus offered himself as that lamb, that pure, sinless lamb. And as we find in Matthew 1 and 21, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. But I'm going to tell you, that new covenant, that new will has something more. Just as in the Old Testament, it had the various divine worship and how God instructed them. We have now this new covenant, this new will, brought into being by the death of Jesus. And he accomplished all that everything in the Old Testament had been pointed to, the salvation of the family of God, the children of God. And now he has given us the will of God and how God, all of the promises. You see, in fact, look in Ephesians chapter 1. Remember as I began in verse 3, where he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the beloved. Now, love those passages there. I was chosen in Christ. God Almighty chose me even before the world began. And not only I, but I thank God many, many children out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. But look at this, a verse we read and state all the time. But in chapter 11, listen to this now. He says, in whom, that is in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance. Now, a will is declaring that I'm leaving you something. This is your inheritance. Brother Terry, you got an inheritance. I have an inheritance. Now, we sung about in 676 about what a day it will be. I want to tell you, that is declaring about our eternal redemption, our eternal inheritance. I have an inheritance. One day I'm going to be with Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to be like, but I know I'm going to be like Him. I don't know necessarily what all it's going to be like up there in heaven, But I know that where Jesus is, it will be heaven for me. Where Jesus is, it's going to be all right. I'm going to be in the image of Christ. I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be everything that I can't even imagine how good it's going to be. Where there's no more sins, no more temptations, no more pain, no more trouble. Heaven is going to be greater and grander than we can imagine. I want to tell you today, he goes on in this passage, and in 13 he says, "In whom ye also," that is in Christ, "ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." I want to tell you tonight, when you hear the word of truth, people tell me all the time, they say, "Why do you preach if you believe that God, before the very world began, chose the people in Christ Jesus, and God saved them on the cross of Calvary by giving the life of His Son? Why do you preach if you believe God has done that and took care of eternal redemption?" I want to tell you tonight, my friend, though I believe God has taken care of eternal redemption and brought this new will into being, I want to tell you that I believe with all my heart that now we have not only an inheritance, but we have the earnest of our inheritance. We have not only the promise of heaven, but we have the promise of the kingdom of heaven. We have the promise of the King. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. We have the promise of all of the richness that we can enjoy in heavenly places in the new will. You see, God didn't just say, "I'm going to give you heaven eternally and great and grand, but you got to endure everything down here." But God said, "Yes, you have heaven eternally, but now you have something that you can have today in the earnest of your inheritance, in your will, in the will of God. He has given us a little bit now." And it's kind of like a trust fund. You know, somebody sets up a fund and says, when you get to be so old, you're going to have maybe $1 million in the inheritance, or $100 million, whatever you want to think of. But right now, you have a trust that you can live on, in something you can experience and have today. And this is what I believe the New Testament and New Will is about, is that God has said, "I've established, and the sacrifice of my Son has established this new covenant with the death of His Son. He's perfected all of those that were sanctified in Jesus Christ. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified." But thanks be unto God, is that, brethren, we have today not only our eternal inheritance, but I have something right here, right now. Listen to this. "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now listen to what he says. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." He's saying that when you hear the gospel, you see, it's important that people hear the gospel. If you don't hear the gospel, you will not have the earnest of your inheritance. You will not be able to enjoy, nor will you know about, nor will you have all the bounty, all the blessings of heaven here on earth. You won't have it, because it's all in Christ Jesus. That's why the Jews that don't believe in Jesus, if there's any that don't believe in the Messiah, whether Jew or Gentile, you won't have the blessings of God, because it's all in Christ. And only when we believe, only when we receive. Remember John chapter 1. Now see, sometimes people lump them all together. But in John chapter 1 in verse 13, he says, I'm going to start in 11. He says in John chapter 1 in verse 11, "He came into his own received him not, but as many as received Him," that is, received Christ, acknowledge Christ as the Messiah, "as many as received or acknowledged Him as the Messiah, as many as received Him, to them gave He power." He didn't say you automatically become a son, but He said you've got the power to become. "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on His name." Now listen, don't stop there. "Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." That is, my friends, you are born again totally by the will of God Almighty. You were born by the Holy Spirit of God coming upon you, quickening you, just as John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mama's womb. So I believe that God can reach the little bitty babies, or God can reach all of His children, wherever and whatever state they be in, and cause the new birth of His Holy Spirit, a new creature, a new creation. But I want to tell you tonight, my friends, that when you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel of your salvation, you have a sealing of the Holy Spirit that occurs in which I believe to be the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That is that now you've got the ability to become a son of God. You've got the ability to enjoy the covenant of God, the will of God, your earnest of your inheritance. Eternal redemption you're going to have. I want to tell you there's many of God's dear children that have eternal redemption and yet do not experience the power, do not experience the earnest of their inheritance. You've got the ability. Now, he don't say that you have it. He says you have the ability. Same thing he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he says in verse 17 and 18, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." You see, that's what he told Israel to do. He brought them what? Out of Egypt. Come out from among them. Come out. And listen to what he says. You know, he told them basically over and over, leave their gods on the other side. You know, come out as for me and my house. You know, you can serve whatever gods you want. I believe it was Joshua said. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen to what he said in 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And what? And I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm saying a lot to say a little. But I want to tell you tonight that we have a new covenant. Jesus is a surety of a better covenant. We have the new will of God. We have something that you can have. Jesus, you know the beautiful part about it. Whenever you die, if I die and I leave you something in my will, you've got that, but that's all you have. You don't have me there to enjoy it with you. I won't have you there to enjoy it with you because when you and I die, we're dead until the resurrection day. But when Jesus, I want to tell you, he came up out of that grave, not only did he bring the will into force, but Jesus is here interceding for us. Jesus is here. He's here to lift us up to enjoy. To enjoy this heavenly will, all of the promises of God. See, what is the promises of God? I believe with all my heart that the promises of God, basically you could say, John 14, you know, he that hath my commandments and doeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he says that he will manifest himself unto us. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, you have Jesus. That's your reward right here, right now. That's the will of the Father, is that you have the Father, that you have the Son, that you have the Holy Spirit on this side of glory. That's why I preach, is to tell people what they have. You have an inheritance. Now, I'm going to tell you, that means something. A member of the church at Turner, he had a cousin that died, and another cousin was telling that the daughter of this sister that died, saying, "Your mama's going to be in hell," and was telling her all the things of how that she wasn't saved because she didn't do this and this. But I want to tell you, friends, that when you begin to understand grace, you know, none of us deserve heaven. All of us deserved hell. But brethren, when you understand that God has a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and it's not based on our works. Remember Romans chapter 9 and 11, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might not stand of works, but of him that calleth. As it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I have mercy upon whom I have mercy. I show compassion upon whom I show compassion. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God showed mercy. And that's why heaven's mine. But I want to tell you tonight that God has given and imparted unto me a will, a way of worship of him. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And whenever we keep the commandments of God in striving to follow, you know, this is what he says in Matthew chapter 7. You know, I'm finding more and more is really the same old story. We sung that tonight. About the same old story. Yes, dealing with our eternal salvation, but I find that about everything else. It's the same old story. It's the kingdom of God all over again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to tell you tonight, God is in heaven, but now we have a kingdom of heaven which is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you can believe in election and predestination all you want, but unless you and I are doing more than saying, Lord, Lord, unless we're obeying God, then, brethren, God will, you know, you won't enjoy the blessings of God. And you will be basically... Brethren, you want to experience freedom. Remember, Jesus said that if we follow Him, that we will be free indeed. And that same thing in Romans as well, where He talks about that basically God won't lay sin to our charge. I believe that eternally, but I'm going to tell you right now, every time I pray, the only way my prayers are heard is whenever Jesus Christ intercedes for me, and He don't lay sin to my charge. When He covers me, then my prayers are heard, my service is heard, because I do nothing perfect in the flesh. But through faith, which God has given me, I can please my Heavenly Father. It's God that worketh in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when I do that, I'm able to experience the will of God, the covenant of God, the promises of God. That's really what we're saying in a nutshell, is I'm able to have the promises of God. And God has many promises that He's imparted unto us in His will. You have a will now. I really don't believe it's as complicated sometimes as we make it. Maybe perhaps it's just because it's going above my head. But it's really, I don't believe, so complicated. God's given us a will. God help us to enjoy all the blessing, all of our inheritance, the earnest of our inheritance right here, right now. Enjoy it today. Walk and live in the will of God. Because when you do, you experience all the promises within that will. We could say much more, but I just trust that this will be a blessing to you in your thoughts this week in some manner and way. God bless you. For Christ's sake is my prayer.